All right. So we've been talking about the others in our life the last couple of weeks before Easter. We took a break on Easter. How many of you loved the program last week? Was that not? Did they not do an amazing job? Thank you guys so much for being a part of that. And everybody who put it together and built stuff and the tomb and the garden. And man, it was just a good time. And then watching the kids go crazy after Easter eggs. I watched my daughter swat eggs out of a tree. I didn't know that was, she was trying. Somebody put them way up high and they were trying to climb. I was like, teamwork, Jim did it. I knew. I wasn't going to rat you out, Jim. But I knew they were way up high and the kids were jumping and trying to climb and the tree's huge. And I'm like, teamwork, do teamwork. My daughter just looks around, grabs a stick and starts hitting them. Pow, pow, pow. They go flying everywhere. Like, that's not the teamwork I was thinking about, but okay, that'll work, man. But we had an amazing time, and God is good to us, man. And the only reason why we have it again is, as Christopher was saying earlier, because he is good to us, because he gave his son. We can have life, we can have freedom, we can have joy. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for it. And this is the thing about the scripture. If we look, and we're going to talk more about it in a little bit, but when we look, man, everything Jesus did was not about himself, it was always about others. Our foundation scripture that we're using on this series is Philippians 2, 3 through 4. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. We've been talking about the others. The first week we talked about is not about me. The points we had that week was God never blesses anything done from the wrong motive, out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, that we need to have the mind of Christ, that Jesus, if we're taking that mind, is others-minded, and that to be called to Christ means that we are called to others. You can't serve Christ and neglect others. It doesn't work that way. If we're following in his footsteps and being his disciples, his followers, then that's exactly what we have to do. We have to look to others. The second week we talked about fruit. Our fruit is not for us, but it is for others. How many of you have ever seen a tree eat its own fruit? Doesn't happen, right? The fruit that is there produces new life. Right? The seed produces new life. We're told by Christ to sow the seeds so that, and some of them will take and some of them won't, right? I am famous for killing stuff, plants, like that bush. It's not doing so hot and I'm watering it, man. He's like, I want to see how it does with you. I'm like, it's dead. Yeah, pretty much. I'm not good at growing things, but there is some stuff that I can't kill. Like, Terry gave me a cactus. He's like, dude, you can't kill this. I'm like, thank you. Something I can't destroy with my growing abilities. But it's one of those things that we plant the seed and we let God do the rest of it, right? We plant the seed and but the fruit that comes out of our lives either helps or hurts what God wants to do. Again, bitter fruit. My wife told me it wasn't a grapefruit or a lemon tree. It was a satsuma tree, but it tasted like grapefruits, and so that's why it was horrible. You guys like satsumas? Nobody likes satsumas? Oranges. There's a type of orange, a satsuma. So orange. Never mind. I'm moving along quickly. We're gonna go to point number two. No. We talked about that week that religious people always see others' need for grace and not their own. That a fully devoted follower of Christ understands their own need for grace. That God wants us to develop a heart that considers others and that we will be judged according to our actions towards others. And we're going to talk a little bit about those two things as well again today. But but this is the thing about grace, man. You can't earn it. It's given. And it should be taken so that it can be given. Does that make sense? We should have that mindset that the grace that God has given us, that we use it to serve others, that we use it to give to others, that we give it, that we use it so that when we look and see other people, we don't see their issues, we see who they can be in Christ, right? We don't see their downfalls, because some of you know we all got downfalls, some of us a lot more than others, right? But we all have issues, and I'm getting into my message, so I'm going to stop, man. When you look at the ministry of Jesus again, man, you see that it's all about others. When he was walking around, when he was doing what he did, and you know, the scripture says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me, and it's up, and this is the thing. What attracted people to Jesus? Like, why did people want to come to Jesus? Like, a lot of them didn't believe that he was God at first, so it's not that. What was it that attracted people? Why did they come by the thousands to see him? In your notes, man, the others were always attracted to the presents that Jesus gave them, the gifts that Jesus gave them. My wife said, that's wrong. It should be the other one. I was like, no, you got to see what I'm talking about before we go there. The things that Jesus did for them. Because you know what? If Jesus wouldn't have been healing people, people that were sick wouldn't have come to him. Right? If people wouldn't have been feeding people, they wouldn't have followed him out into the middle of the desert. And you guys understand what I'm saying? When people came to see Jesus, they came for certain things. And the one thing that we see here in this scripture, first of all, I'm gonna read a scripture. We haven't read it yet. Is that he taught them. One thing that you see Jesus always did, he taught them. Then he fed them, right? Or he healed them, and then he said, go and sin no more. And then he used examples and things that were happening, like the woman at the well, right? You guys remember the Samaritan woman? I might get into that another time, but he used what was going on at the time, her drawing water, to talk about how he was, if she drank of the water that he had, she wouldn't be thirsty anymore. And then he told her everything about her life. And because he knew things that he shouldn't know, she said, hey, I found this guy. I think he's Christ. You need to come. I think he's the Savior. You need to come. He's the Messiah that everyone's been talking about. You need to come. Because what happens when God does something amazing in your life, what's the first thing that you do? You go tell somebody. You go tell somebody. And when God does something, if you do it right, I mean, you know, sometimes we don't do it right. If you do it right, the first thing you do is give glory to God, because he's the one that provided that for you. If we understand that he's our provider, that nothing we have comes to us because we're really good. It comes to us because he's good, and he allows it to come into our life. He gives it to us. Matthew 5, 2 through 11, Jesus starts teaching them. And one of the things that Jesus always taught them was, a lot of times it was opposite from what they did. Or they thought, right? Opposite and backwards of the way the world thinks. And you say, what are you talking about? Listen to this. It says, blessed, let's see. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How many of you know the way the world looks at it is only the strong survive, right? You have to take what you want, or you don't get it. But God says, trust in me and I'll give you what you need. Trust in me and I'll make a way for you. Trust in me and when you're going through a bad time, I will give you comfort. Jesus is teaching them something totally different from what they knew or what they thought. It's totally different from their upbringing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil things falsely against you, falsely in my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All these things that Jesus is teaching them right now, they're like, that doesn't even sound like fun. Be happy when they persecute me. Can we just skip that part and me just be happy, right? Can we not talk about how if I stand up and I'm cast down and things happen to me, that God's still going to reward me because I've followed him no matter what's going on in the situation, that I didn't give in to what the world says I should do or shouldn't do or should be or shouldn't be. I mean, you know, the world's standard is totally opposite of God's standards when you read in the scripture. And unfortunately, a lot of times we try to meet in the middle with our lives. We try to meet in the middle. But you know what the scripture says about those that meet in the middle? Revelations. He says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. Because of that, I will spit you, vomit you, spew you, however you want to read it, out of my mouth. I don't want you here because you are in the middle. You know what happens if you stand in the middle of a fence? It hurts, right? It does. You You have to decide one or the other. I was watching a video the other day. There was a dude trying to get on a boat, and he stuck one foot on the boat, and the boat started moving, and he didn't take the other foot off, and he tried to stay in the middle, and what ended up happening? It was hilarious to me, right? I'm sure he wasn't so funny at the time, but that's what ends up happening. God has said, man, I want you to be on fire for me. I want you to step away from what the world says and come to what I have to say. Jesus taught these things over and over and over. The second thing that Jesus did is he ministered to them when they were having issues or problems or needs. He took time out of everything that he was doing and he stopped and focused on them, right? The woman with the issue of blood, he's going to Jairus' daughter, right? He's walking there, somebody touched him, he stops immediately and turns around. And they're like, no, you got to come on. He's like, just hang tight, I need to take care of this right now. He stops everything and turns, what? Scripture says, and we sing the song all the time, he leaves the 99 for the one, right? I'm thankful that he left for me. I'm thankful that he cares about me. That I'm at one point, man, his focus was on me. Now, his focus is on everybody. Don't let me say that. But in my mind, at one moment in time, his spirit came. He was there. My life changed forever. Why? Because he's good to me. Because I needed him. Thing is, we all need him. Thing is, we all need him. He's just waiting for us to turn around and say, I need you. How many of you have ever with your kids or with somebody else, let them just go? You knew it was, and I've told my wife, like, stop, just let them, because they're going to have to learn, right? Some people only learn by messing up. That's me. That's who I was. If I didn't hit my head hard 5 times, I wasn't going to stop jumping that ramp. You know what I'm saying? It just, oh, crash, and my arms hurt. Let's do it again. It'll be fun, right? It's not until it was very, very difficult for me that I changed and said, you know what? I might ought to change. You know what? Everybody does it. What do they say? When the pain of change becomes less of the pain of staying the same, that's when something will happen. But we'll stay there so uncomfortable till we just can't take it anymore because the unknown is on the other side of that door. But when we start to understand that God is the one who owns the door, that opens the door, that showed us the door in the first place and said, I want you to step out. We need to follow him. Jesus always ministered to those who were in need. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Then the next thing he did is he met their needs. Healing came to all of them. It wasn't one that Jesus walked up to and said, well, sorry, that's too big of a problem for me. Do you know the only time that Jesus was ineffective was when he was in his hometown? And it said they didn't believe. That's the carpenter's son. We know him. He can't do that. Do you know there's going to be a lot of people in your life that when you give your life to Christ and you start to change, that's the outlook they're going to have on you? Oh, that's him. I still see people that I knew from when I was a kid. Still, 20 years later, 30 years later, and they're like, oh, no, you're not a preacher. I'm like, but I am. I'm a pastor. Yeah, I'm a pastor. Oh, no, not you, man. I'm sorry. I like you, but not you. I'm like, I'm serious. God changed me, and this is what happened, and this is where I was at. But see, the stories that are told about me, the stories that are told about my dad from when he was young, man. When you look back and you see things and I say, this is who I was or this is who he was or this is what was happening. They're like, there's no way that. No. Why? Because God changes us completely. He starts inside and then what happens? It comes to the outside. He doesn't change the outside first so we look really pretty and are all jacked up. We do that. We put what they call lipstick on a pig. Right? I'm not calling y'all pigs. I'm not like me, right? But that's what we do. We make the outside look really, really good. That's the same thing that Saul did. Make me look really, really good and we'll take care of God later. Doesn't work like that. God takes care of the inside out. He sees our heart. And then this is what happens. He meets our needs. He says he knows we have need of before we even ask it, right? God's not waiting to find out what our list is of what we need. He's waiting on us to turn around and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need to see you move in this situation, move in this area, because if not, it's not going to happen, right? Why is it important that those situations are in our lives? Because if not, then we're doing it all on our own. I don't need God. I'm going to handle this one, God, and you... I'll call you in if I need you. That's unfortunately, that's how a lot of people live. That's how a lot of Christians live. I'm going to do it my own way. But then God, when the time comes and I get in a bind, I'm going to call on you. You can come bail me out. And then I'll go right back to the pit because I don't change. I don't fix myself. It says Jesus met their needs. Then he healed their sickness. That's what he did. These are some of the things that just attracted everybody to Jesus. Why did they come to him? Because he was taking care of them in ways that they had never been taken care of. He was telling them things that no one else would tell them. How many of you know there's some people in my life that'll tell me stuff that nobody else will say to me? Right? And then there's some people that'll say stuff that nobody else will say, and it's not in a good way. You know what I'm saying? But there are some people that I've given them that place in my life. There's several guys that are in this church, several people in this church. Jim, Nick, Shane, a couple others, man. There's other guys of you that are in here that I talk with on a regular basis, and I'll point blank ask, hey, where am I at? What do you see of me? Danny, where do you see me? Where am I at? What do you see in me that needs to change? Because you know what? Sometimes, and it's true, we can see the issues in everybody else's life better than we can see our own, right? We shouldn't look at everybody else's. We shouldn't give them advice unless they ask us, right? That's my opinion. Well, in some areas. But it's one of those situations that we need to have people. We need to have accountability. We need to have people in our life that'll help us walk through it. Not look at us in a crazy way. One of the stories in the scripture that shows how Jesus deals with grace, even in the midst of sin, we talked about a little bit last two weeks ago, and it's when the woman was caught in the act of adultery and was brought before Jesus with the Pharisees, and they were all there. It's in John 8, 1 through 11. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. Teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in the act of adultery. They made her stand before the group. They said to Jesus, teacher, this woman is caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? Verse 6, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any of you is without sin, let him first throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this time, those who heard began to go away one at a time, oldest to youngest. Oldest ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No, sir. He said, neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, now go and leave your life of sin. Get rid of the sin that's there. Religious people always try to use, if you look in the scripture, the religious leaders always tried to use others to get to Jesus. Right? And that's one of the things that religion does in our life is it uses us more than it helps us. If it makes sense. Legalistic religion always makes people feel used at the end of it, right? Why am I doing these things? Why do I have to do all these things? You know, there's a lot of people that start off with their walk in a very, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to. And as a youth pastor, that's all I heard, man. When I would ask kids and as a kids pastor, I would ask them, what does it mean to be a Christian? They say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. You have to go to church and you have to read your Bible and you have to pray. This is the thing. All those things will happen when you have a relationship, but it's not because you have to. And I say that time and time again. You guys are probably tired of hearing me say it, but it's a true statement, man. We don't have to do anything to please God. God loves us regardless. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the middle of the sin that we are committing and doing, God still looks down and forgives us. Look at Jesus on the cross. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Look at Stephen being stoned. God, don't lay this at their feet, man. Forgive them. In the middle of it. We have people look at us funny and we're mad forever. I ain't talking to them no more. I'm blocking them on Facebook. They didn't like my comment, so I don't like them no more, right? We laugh, but there's people that do that. You might be one of them. Maybe that's why you're laughing. I don't know. That's what I said. Charles said, yep, that's it. Exactly the one. I like it. But this is the thing, man. All this stuff that we try to do to please God and we try to do to please others and show other people how holy we are because we follow God. It's not what God wants at all. He just wants our relationship. He just wants us to follow him. He doesn't want us to change other people. He doesn't want us to point out their sins to them. How many of you know the Holy Spirit does a good enough job pointing out your sin to you? You don't need other people doing it. Did the lady know that she had done wrong? Did the lady know she was wrong probably when she was doing it? If you know that culture, she may not have had a choice in it at the time. Be honest. Because women couldn't say or do anything, right? Honestly. And she's the only one that's brought forward here in this situation. Nobody else is. And we have a tendency to do that too with our lives. We pick out certain people that have that issue and talk to them and leave the other ones alone because we really like them, right? She was guilty. And this is the thing, the people we come in contact with every day, they're guilty too. You know what? You're guilty. We all need his forgiveness. Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. She knew she had sinned. She knew she was wrong. The people that we talk to every day without throwing the Bible at them and saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. They know where they live. They know the issues that they have. We don't need to be the one that reminds them of it constantly, all the time. We're to plant seeds and let God fix them. Amen? Number 5 in your notes. And I believe we do a very good job of this here in this place. But you know what? Even though you do things well, you can always do it better, right? We should never accuse others as they come into the church of the sin that they have in their life. We should never point them out or cast them out or put them to the side or not invite them to things because of the issues that they have, right? We need to accept them because we need to understand something. In your notes, the A under number 5 is that they're babies. They're learning. You say, what are you talking about? Hebrews 5:12-14 says this. He's actually rebuking them at the time and says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone teaching you again the basic principles and the oracles of God. How many of you know sometimes we get so comfortable in what we're doing and where we're at that we forget about what we're really supposed to be doing with what we have? We forget the fact that we need to go back. Right? I see this with my kid, right? She's in the 3rd grade and I'm her school teacher. That's dangerous, isn't it? Especially when it comes to math, because I was never good at math. But I'm trying to teach my child how to do fractions and all this kind of stuff. And I don't remember how to do all that. Right? Dad, how do I do this? I don't know. Why don't you read your book and let it tell you? Because I don't have a clue, right? No. What do I have to do? I have to go back and learn something that I should have already known that I've just left alone. But how many times do we do that in our spiritual life and what God's word says to us? We know so much word, but we forgot. This is like my dad. I think he says he's forgotten more than he remembers, and he remembers a lot of the word of God, right? Sometimes we need to take a step back and understand. Maybe we need to go back to some milk a little bit. Maybe we need to go back to the principles, the basics, and reteach ourselves and relearn what's going on. Man, I want to do the crown class again. We did the crown class. I remembered everything. We did it so fast, I don't remember it all, right? I want to go do it again so I can reestablish those things that are there and just remember and learn more this time because I already know that, so I'm going to be looking for something else. You know, we need to do that with the Word of God. You might have read the Word of God 12 times. I guarantee you, you pick it up, you start reading, you're going to find something you ain't never seen before. That's how it works. But the Scripture tells us that we ought to go back to the milk. We need somebody teaching us. It says you need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. How many of you know, if you start reading, and there's so many different doctrines and beliefs and things out there, you start reading, everything sounds pretty much right. Right? Not all of it. But there's some that isn't right, but it sounds really good if you think about it. Sounds even better if you don't think about it. You just take it and be like, oh yeah, that's what it says. I'm going to walk with that. Right? Now, again, we're not supposed to cast people out and say, well, you don't believe like I do, so I can't ever hang out with you. Man, no, we all learn from each other. We glean from each other. But this is the thing about it. Some of us are more rooted in the Word. Some of us are not as rooted in the Word. And we need to understand there's some things that we're going to grasp right now and some things that we need to walk through and learn. How many of you know it's a process? When I came to Christ, everything that I did wrong didn't fall off. A lot did, but I still held on to a lot of it. I still got some stuff I got to get rid of. Still got things that God's working on me, and he's going to do it until the day I stand in front of him, right? He's still going to be bringing me through the process. This is what I want to warn you about in your life. Don't get stuck in the process. Don't get stuck where you're at and say, well, I'm way farther than I was, even though I got these issues. God really understands. He's going to forgive me, right? We need to not be stuck in it. We need to constantly be working towards being who God created us to be, allowing him to change us, what the scripture says, from glory to glory, right? But sometimes we need to be taught what the word of God says. Sometimes when somebody comes in and they first give their lives to Christ, we expect them to know everything about the Bible and be perfect. We ain't perfect. So how do we expect them to? That's the same thing that the Jews were doing or the Christians were doing in the scripture, where he rebukes them and says, hey, why are you trying to put all this stuff on these people? You're doing all these things, but you're forgetting the main purpose of why you're here doing what you're doing. It's not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It's about your heart and following Christ. We need to understand, man. We need to do what it says be in your notes is we have to teach them and not accuse them. We have to teach them and not accuse them. How many of you know there's a big difference in teaching somebody how to do something and just telling them they're doing it all wrong, right? I have to work on that with my kids. I'm real good at saying, no, stop, that's stupid. Why are you doing that? And then I have to back up and say, hey, okay, this is why we don't do this. We don't do this because of this. We don't do this because when other people see us, it hurts them. Because they're going to think, oh, it's okay to do that, and not understand why we're doing what we're doing and how we're doing it, right? So many different issues and things, but this is how we teach people more than anything. You guys ready? By our actions, by what comes out of our life, by how we walk. Because how many people have looked around at your life or my life and said, I want that. I say it time and time again, but it's a true statement. How many people have said, I want that? I had a lady in Louisiana come to me and say, they were friends of ours. She's like, will you take my daughter for just 1 week? Because I see your kids, and my kid ain't like that. She hits me and screams at me and yells at me, will you just take her for 1 week and train her? I'm like, she's not a dog. You know, it's not like sending her to obedience school. Do you know who really needs to be trained in a situation? The parent. She needs to be trained. I told her that. I was like, you need to change the way you're doing things. I'm not trying to be mean, but you need to change the way you're doing things. And by doing that and being consistent and all of those things, guess what? Her attitude and temperament and thing will change over time. It might take a while. It ain't going to be overnight. We went to the neurologist the other day, man, for my youngest one. And she walked out of the room and she said, man, your kids are so well-behaved. And without even, you know my kids, man, without even missing a beat. Sid said, that's because he beats us if we're not. When's the last time you got beat? She's like, I got a spanking like 2 years ago. Yeah, I'm like, okay then, wait a minute. I don't beat you. Like, and then the next day she got a big black eye at jiu-jitsu. So I was like, man, I'm glad it wasn't the day before, right? That would have been really bad. Big black eye. That's because Dad beats us. Anyway. But do you know how people learn the most, especially our kids? There's a country song out about it, right? The kid's French fries and drink spill on the floor, and he says a bad word, and the dad says, where'd you learn that? He said, I got it from you, Dad. Isn't that cool? Kids learn by what we do. Why would we think that babes in Christ would be any different? The principle's the same. How am I supposed to act? What is my life supposed to look like? What guide do I have besides just the Word of God that I can lay my eyes on and say, that's how I want my life to look? People that are around me, the people that I have in my life. And if my life isn't lining up and matching up with the Word of God and people are following me, guess what? Scripture says if the blind lead the blind, they both end up in a ditch, right? That's what Jesus said. It's a true statement. Don't follow me because I'm going to lead you in the wrong path sometimes. Like, how do you handle conflict? Not well. That's how I do it, right? Don't follow me in that one. You know, follow me in how to eat a pizza or something. I'm really good at that. It's not very, you know, scriptural, but hey, it's good. Anyway, the principles are this, man. We need to live our life so that other people can see us, look at us, and see Christ in them. See Christ in what we do. See God in what we say and how we live. And this is the thing that I think is the most important part of this story, the part that blows my mind away the most, I guess, and then I'm going to stop, man, is this. Jesus was the only one, is the only one who could throw a stone at this moment, but he chose to extend grace. He's the only one that had a sinless life, that died for you and for me. Because again, like I said last week, it wasn't just him dying on a cross that saved us. It was the sinless life that he lived and the resurrection that followed. Because millions of people died on a cross. But only one died for our sins, sinless, and rose again so that we could have freedom. He's the only one at that point that could have thrown a stone and condemned. But John 3:17 says, I did not send my son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. Right? He wants us to have salvation. He wants us to enjoy the grace, the gift that he's given to us. But he also wants us to give it to others. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. This morning, you're sitting here, you be honest, man, I need that grace in my life. I need to feel that grace. I need him to be a part of my life. I need to accept the free gift that he's given me. And I need to live my life according to it. You be honest this morning and say, that's me. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I need that grace in my life. I need to live a life according to what he has for me. I want to say a prayer. It's not these words that does it. The scripture tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we will be saved, we'll receive the gift that he's given to us. So that's why we say a prayer. It's us confessing with our mouth all together in unity. Say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Everybody out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. Your son died so that I could have forgiveness. I need that forgiveness. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness. I accept this gift now so that I could have access to you. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a minute. You be honest with me and say, hey, I've kind of forgotten the whole purpose behind it. Or I haven't forgotten all of it, but I haven't been walking in it the way that I should. I haven't been thinking about others, giving grace to others. I look at others and judge more than I help. I accuse more than I teach. And I want to change that. I want God to help me change that. I want the Holy Spirit to quicken in my heart and say, hey, that's not how you should be. We need to change some things. You be honest and say, that's me. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would help us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Guide us, lead us in all those areas that we're falling down in, man. The areas that we, when we look at others and we start to judge, God, what you did is you exposed other sins, Father God, when they came and talked about it. You used their own sin. Help me look at my sin. Look at my issues. Look at my things that need to change before I focus on others, before I try to tell others. And God, I ask that in each and every one of our lives that we would walk in a way that points to your Son and to you, Father God, that makes us Christ-like and allows us to be good fruit and to bring good things to the people. The grace that you've given us, the love that you've given us, the mercy that you've given us, the ability to love even in the middle of the struggle, even in the middle of the turmoil and the issue. Help us look at them and forgive them before they even think they need it. I see you'd help us with that because that's a difficult thing to do, God. Help us be more like you every day and see you in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, this week, man, you need to go out and find some ways to love on people, man, to extend grace to others. Even in the middle of the problem or the issue or the turmoil, man, let's look at them with love the way God did. Let's focus on them. Let's start with our waitresses when we go. If there's an issue or a problem, let's be nice. Any servers are like, yup, let's be nice to them, right? Anybody that's ever worked in that place. Because you know what? It's not always their fault. Usually it's not their fault. They're just the one that brings the bad news, right? We need to take care of people and love them, even in the middle of the issues and the turmoil and the problems. And show grace. Show grace, especially to the ones in our own family. Because that's where we leave it out a lot. That's where we leave it out a lot. We tend to be very harsh in those areas. We need to share the love of Christ, man. With that, man, we're going to stand up. We're going to sing a song. We're going to go out of here and just enjoy today. Share God's love and grace with somebody today. Find a way to do that. Heavenly Father, as we get ready to go out of here, Father God, to start our day outside of your house, God, let us just let us find ways to love others, Father God, to share your love, grace, and mercy, and to be who you called us to be and created us to be. In Jesus' name.